All right, God is good.
Amen.
He's good. He's really good. Amen. I'm happy to report that God is still alive. He's still on the throne.
Amen.
Can anybody say amen?
Amen.
Now, I understand that you guys have been practicing the Apostles' Creed. Is that right?
Not really.
I think it's what you... Oh, not really? We recited it one time? Do you remember it?
Yeah. I believe everything in the Bible.
Yeah. Huh? You do? From nothing? Yeah, me too. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Amen. Well, let's just recite this because this is our faith. Amen. This is what they used to make people, before the Bible was written, this is what people used to do when they were getting baptized, you know, because people needed to know what the doctrines of the church were. And you wanted to know if somebody was being baptized, what did they believe? Why are you here? Why are you being baptized? So it says, can you read it?
Yeah.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. We got to get the rhythm right. Who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Well, there you have it. Amen. I mean, that's your faith. That's your faith. Amen. Everybody go. Janet, do you have the gold stars? Do you have the gold stars for Sunday school?
I didn't bring any.
Oh, you didn't bring any gold stars? All right, we should have had some gold stars. Amen. We used to do that, yeah, for the Bible drills. Amen. Well, we're going to pray for the nations right now, and we're going to pray for the nations, and then we're going to pray for our country because it's kind of topsy-turvy.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, you wanted a sitcom. I mean, this is it. It's not even a drama. This is a sitcom. And that's what happens when I'm not saying everybody's perfect, but what I'm saying is that when righteousness and wickedness start having a real battle, it becomes pretty evident.
Yeah.
It becomes pretty evident.
Yeah.
Amen. So we're praying that God's will be made known, and God's will be done, that he overcomes all of men's antics, because he does. I mean, we've been reading about this in the Bible for years, right? We know exactly what people do. They have all kinds of gyrations and manipulations that are going on behind the scenes because they have all kinds of agendas. But we know one thing is that God is in charge, and we as the people of God are commanded to pray for leaders and pray for all men and pray for those who are in authority. And pray for them doesn't mean, oh, God, just bless them in whatever they're doing. No, pray for them means that they submit to the will of God. Amen? I mean, it's best for a leader to submit to the will of God. Otherwise, he could be in big trouble. Amen? Because, you know, God keeps trying to tell you with the signs and the road signs, clip bridge out. And if you don't turn, you're likely to go off the end of the bridge that's out. So God's not saying, I'm fixing to beat you up, or I'm fixing to whip you, or I'm fixing to kill you if you don't stop. It's, you're going to die because there is stuff ahead that you don't recognize and you don't know about, but I'm leading you, I'm guiding you, and if you'll hear me, you'll be happy. If you don't hear me, you'll be sadly disappointed because you'll have run into some things that I tried to warn you about. Amen. Father, we just lift up all men, as you've commanded us to do. You said pray for all men and for kings and those who are in authority.
Yes.
So by praying for kings, we're also praying for all men, because kings are the ones who kind of have a lot to do with how all men are able to live their lives. So Father, we just lift them up right now. We lift up all men that they may come to the knowledge of the truth through Christ Jesus, no matter what their leaders are doing, that the gospel of the kingdom you said was going to be preached in every nation to every creature, and then would the end come. Not until then, but then would the end come. So, Father, we lift up every leader across the world, Father, in Nigeria and Algeria and in Russia and in China and Korea. Father, we lift up every leader that they would be moved by your Holy Spirit into the way or out of the way. Father, that first of all, the gospel would be preached as you have commanded, as you have desired, as your heart has spoken. But, Father, also that people would be blessed in the nation in which they live. Many of them have no choice of where to live. They can't buy an airline ticket. They can't buy a car. They're stuck there. They can't even change jobs. So, Father, we pray that the gospel of the kingdom would be preached in that place so that folks can have an opportunity to live, to eat, to be prosperous, blessed, and to live their life in that circumstance, in their community and in their tribe with everything that is a blessing to them in that place. Father, let them be the blessed in their name, in their tribe. Let them be the blessed in their country. Let them be the ones who exhibit the power of God, the glory of God, the love of God, the peace of God. Father, in that place, it's not the same as America, but for them and those around them, they can see the blessing of God upon them. So, Father, we thank you for all of those things being made manifest by your word. We're going to read today, "Oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation." Father, let the meditation of the Word of God be prevalent in all the earth. Father, in every place that the name of Jesus is named, we thank you for there are those, a remnant, that are bringing forth the love of God. They're not looking to get a blessing. They're looking to bring forth the love of God, and then the love of God produces all kinds of blessing and benefits so that others are loved and others are cared for and needs are met. So we thank you. The love of God brings about needs being met. And we just give you praise and thanks, Lord, for all of these things, for all of these nations. We pray for our own nation. We pray for our president, Donald Trump. Father, that he would be led by the Holy Ghost. Father, we pray that he would not be led by agendas or by ideas or by certain groups, but we pray that he is put into office for this hour to do the things that you have desired to do to save this nation so that it can continue to be a light to the nations. Father, we pray for those who are in opposition to the present. Father, that they will also come to a knowledge of the truth and the light of the gospel would shine to them. That the love of God would just move upon this nation in a supernatural way to change minds, to change hearts, to cause those who are in disagreement to come into agreement. So, Father, we thank you. We don't know how that looks. We don't care how that looks. What we do believe is that we're trusting you with our nation. And so, Father, we pray for that right now. Every senator, every congressman, every judge, federal, state, and local officials, the ones that affect our lives locally, the ordinances that they pass, Lord, let righteousness rule in our local cities. And we give you praise, Lord God, that we pray for our local leaders. We don't just stop at the president. We pray for our mayor. We pray for our particular city council person. We call down there and tell them, hey, by the way, I'm not calling to complain. I'm just calling to let you know that I'm praying for you, that I love you. And I put my name on your list so that you know that I'm praying for you. I'm lifting you up. School board officials, that you're watching them and praying for them. That you're watching them and praying for them. Father, we thank you that we're involved because this is the land that you have given us and the land you put us in. And Father, we make manifest the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ, not in our church rooms and buildings, but we make manifest the gospel of Jesus Christ because we have opportunity to speak into the community. Not like some nations where they put you in jail for it. This nation, you have opportunity, Father. We thank you that you're just leading us to involve ourselves in the ruling of our nation because we're going to rule over countries and nations in heaven. We're going to rule in righteousness. So we might as well start now living in the Word of God as we do. So we love you and we give you praise. We thank you for this time of fellowship together among these few. And we love them and we thank you that they love you. And this is the gospel of the kingdom and this is the kingdom of heaven gathered together this morning. And we give you all the glory. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem, which is the coming of the Lord Jesus. We pray in the name of that peace be upon that land right now. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We just thank you, Lord. Thank you for the prayer that you've caused us to pray, and thank you that you commanded us to pray, and then our prayer is effectual because we've followed you in prayer. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let the joy of the Lord just flow into our minds and our hearts today. Glory, glory, glory to the Lord. Heaven and earth are filled with your glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, God is good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here, I'm going to pick up that litter because it bothers me. Praise the Lord. Well, God is good. He's having a good day. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, let's look at Psalm chapter 119. Sorry, Psalm 119. It's a long psalm. We're not done. We keep going. This will be a familiar portion to you. In Psalm 119, beginning in verse 97. All right. Praise the Lord. The next couple of sections are fairly familiar to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Does anybody have a testimony of Thanksgiving this morning? I'll start. Shiloh, our granddaughter, was in the hospital with a respiratory infection and what all, you know, of course, her current condition and is... with the spinal muscular atrophy, she and her sister, they are become susceptible to those kind of things. Well, she was in there for about a week. And that was after she'd been in there 2 weeks back in Thanksgiving and what all. Thanksgiving to December 5th. Well, I got to spend pretty much all week with her. Jordan started a new job. I got to spend about all week with her during the day so he could go to work. And so we just had a blessing that Shiloh is just she's a precious kiddo. She loves Jesus, and she's a chatterbox. That kid is a chatterbox. She will engage every doctor and every nurse, you know, when they come in there and just things. And it's kind of like that person who's kind of looking for a way out of the conversation. So, but she was great, and we're thanking God she was able to go home yesterday says doing so well and doing powerfully well. So we're excited. I believe she's going to walk. I was messing with her. She's on this Spinraza stuff, which helps out with their extremities and their muscles and what all. And I had her doing stuff like usually her legs just aren't even doing much. Her feet were going 100 miles an hour, and then I had her squeezing my fist with her knees. You know, and which, I mean, moving her legs, of course, that's the heaviest part of you. And he's actually giving me a squeeze with her knees. I guess I could have called it a knee squeeze. And, but I mean, so we're just excited. We're just excited. I believe she's going to walk. Amen. I believe Gabby's going to walk, her little sister. I believe that. And so we're excited. Amen. I'm thankful for my kids, Jordan and Robin, his wife, and they are just the people with the attitude to destroy the devil. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen? Folks with kids with special needs are God gives, if a kiddo is going to be theirs, I mean, God has chosen the right parents because they love Jesus. And they just, I mean, they're joyful. Not without struggle, not without devil. Of course, everybody's got some amount of struggle. You just let it happen in your own brain, you know, no matter what's going on. Amen? I mean, troubles just come, and no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, you can either accede to it and say, boy, this is awful, and I'm just going to be miserable. I'm going to be irritated and make everybody else miserable around me. But God gives us an opportunity to rejoice and to give praise to Him. We have that choice. It's like, I give you this choice. Choose life. I give you this day, set before you life and death. Choose life. That's like that tree in the garden. Here's life and death. Choose life. Oops. Picked the wrong one. But that's okay because God came in with mercy. So He's always going to come in with mercy. Don't ever have any fear about that. Even if you make the dumb decision, God's going to come in with mercy. Trust me, I know. But God is giving you mercy every day. He's giving you an opportunity to rejoice and to sing praise. And so I'm just grateful again for my kids who have risen to the occasion by faith, not because they're awesome, but it's because by faith they chose to embrace what God is, what life has given them, and God allowed them to take on this responsibility, and they did it. Amen. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's just wonderful.
So powerful. Amen. That's so right. Watching Robin coming in yesterday, she came over. She decided she was going to come over and pick up Shiloh. I had stayed overnight that night, and they had a birthday party celebration. They were trying to not postpone again. And so Papa got to stay, and then Robin came over, and I mean, she blew in like a white tornado, and she was just taking care of everything, you know, and just taking everything and making sure that everything is moving properly and everything is, and God gives you that grace. Susan, God gives you that grace. Amen? He does. He gives you that grace. And God does that, Joe, and Mama Bear, you know, and Dad. You know, God gives you that grace. And We're just excited about the love and the peace that God can give in the midst of what somebody else would go, wow, I couldn't do that. You know? I mean, could you hear that? You hear that a lot. Yeah. You know, is it, I couldn't do that. No, you just, I can't do it either. You just got to have a big God.
Amen.
You know? So, God is good, and we're excited. Anybody else want to testify? We're happy to have Shiloh home, and, you know, at their house. You know, that's the first government God created was family, right? That's the first. He didn't create church. He didn't create church first. He created a family first. He said, it's not good that man should be alone. I'm going to make him a wife. Praise the Lord.
Praise.
Then all of a sudden they found out they could have kids. Make more. God said, make more. And so they did. Amen. And that first family had trouble, didn't they?
Yeah.
Amen. Kids fighting. Boy, that's just awful. Kids fighting like that. God made a. God managed to get it. Get it. They made more. So God got them going. Hallelujah. And God kept them going. All right. Praise the Lord. Father, we just thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is awesome. Your word is bringing us into your presence. Your word causes us to know who you are, and you delivered it to us through the prophets, through Moses, through Jesus, through the Apostle Paul. Father, you brought it to us, and you bring it in a way that we can hear and know and understand that it's not just the physical eyeball Word of God that but you introduce us to the Holy Spirit through the Word. And we begin to hear the Holy Spirit as we study your word. Most people only have had your word for 500 years because they didn't have it before that. But Father, we thank you that you managed to, by your Holy Spirit, build your church and draw people into your kingdom. But we thank you for this. In these last days, we have this word of God that we can buy in every store. Even at Albertsons, we can buy it. And we just rejoice, Lord, to thank you for your word being available in so many places. So we just receive it with joy. Thank you that the Holy Spirit speaks to us daily and brings us into fellowship with you. And we give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You know, you realize that, right? I mean, the printing press was just invented about right before Martin Luther put up his 95 theses on the theses, T-H-E-S-E-S, 95 theses on the wall there at the church. And that thing, then those guys got something, hey, let's print that. This is incendiary. Well, you know, then the news media was born. You know, they print something that they thought was going to, and all that meant was, it's this pup's going to sell. You know, so they're going to print something that's going to sell. But that started the publishing business incredibly. People were writing pamphlets, of course, you know, the United States. People were writing pamphlets. and things of that nature during the Revolutionary War about, you know, what they believed should be and how they should be. People just had freedom to be, even before the Constitution was written or ratified. This is during the 1770s, is they were writing these papers and sending them all out, or had newspapers that they were writing. I was listening to a series about President, I can't even remember his name now. Nobody knows him. James K. Polk. Anybody know him? James K. Polk. Now, I like him because he got Texas in. He was the guy that oversaw the annexation of Texas. And not only that, but the annexation of the territory during the Mexican-American War. Apparently, Santa Anna was back, you know, and he decided he was... He liked being in charge, Santa Anna, you know, even though he was got defeated at the Texas back in 1836, he came back, you know, and during the 1840s, and he was fighting in the Mexican-American War. And the big deal was the boundary of Texas, whether it was going to be the Nueces River or the Rio Grande. And then also they had territories that they couldn't possibly manage, that we decided we'd help them out and take them on for them. It was New Mexico and California. So under James K. Polk, the nation actually, they weren't states yet, but they were territories. Under James K. Polk, the nation went from all the way from sea to sea and to the Gulf of Mexico. So, I mean, and you said, who? Who? And only served one term. But it's powerful how just in a small amount of time, God can change everything. God can change everything. Aren't you excited? I mean, I'm excited. And I look back at just the years that have passed in recent days, and, you know, even the last, you know, 8, 10 years, 20 years, you know, of course, your internet, you know, those things that we never had before. Me and Randy never had it, you know. And Jack certainly never had it. And, but all of these things that, now I'm just thinking, I told Janet this morning, I said, you know, there's stuff that we don't even think of that we could figure out how to do just by Google, how do you reset that thing on that odometer that way? You know, how do you get rid of that dummy light, that idiot light, you know, on there? And I don't have to take it to the dealership. Somebody's already figured it out. I just Google it, you know? Yeah, so all of these things, knowledge, I mean, this is the Bible. Knowledge is going to, I mean, they thought this the 1500s, you know, when publishing started, you know, that knowledge is going to go to and fro throughout the whole earth. Well, it was, and it has. But even and now, how much more so today? So when is Jesus coming? He's coming soon.
Hallelujah.
He's coming soon.
Amen.
When was he coming then? He was coming soon. When was he coming when Jesus ascended? I'm coming soon. So God's time frame is not our time frame. Amen. So all we've got to worry about is our 70, 80, 120 years. We believe he's coming. Could he come in our day? Absolutely. If he doesn't, what do? Occupy. Occupy till he comes. How do you do that? Listen to the Holy Ghost. You know, before they had the Bible in written form, what did they do? They listened to the Holy Ghost. They received preaching. That's why you had pastors and apostles and prophets and evangelists and teachers, is that you would hear the Word of God. Then you would meditate upon the Word of God, and then you would go home and you would pray and meditate on the Word of God that you had heard, and then you would hear God for yourself. You know, God never just wanted you to hear just the pastor on Sunday morning. He wanted you to hear Him. So He began to have pastors to teach you that you can know the Holy Ghost for yourself. Now, some churches didn't teach that. They kind of kept a close tie on everything. But no, God always wanted the Holy Spirit to be in everybody. That's what Jesus said when he was with the disciples in the Gospel of John at the Last Supper. He said, He is with you. I'm going to send you another comforter if I go away. And he is with you, and he is going to be in you. And he will show you things to come. And he will guide you. Amen? So that was from the very beginning. Jesus always taught that the Holy Spirit is going to be in you and with you, and he is going to guide you. Is that a promise?
Yes.
Yes. Well, then he's good for it, isn't he?
Yes.
So I believe that God's leading you and guiding you. And what you want to do is just stop and listen. You want to stop and listen. And because He's given you this opportunity to have a Word of God that you can put on your in your pocket, or you know, on your phone now, you know, you got this thing, and you can carry it around. You can carry six of them around in here, you know, or 12. You can carry 12 Bibles in here, and you can get all kinds of different directions, ways to do it. You can look up all the Greek and the Hebrew in here. Do you know you can do that? Well, do it. Amen. I don't advertise, but the Blue Letter Bible, you know what? It's free. And you can get at least four on there, you know. Well, and you look up all the Greek. A lot of people, you look up, there's a website. What's it called? What's the one? Alex, what is it?
Oh, my one?
The God Hub. God, Bible Hub, God something.
Okay.
Some kind of hub. And you can just Google that and get close and you'll find it. I think it's, what is it? Come on, people.
Is that where you get the Greek?
I get it off the Blue Letter Bible.
My sword is the Android.
No, no, no. I'm just talking about there's a particular website. Jack, what is it? Bible Hub. Is that it? Some kind of hub.
Bible Gateway.
Yeah, that's it. And then there's a hub, too. Anyway, because it's stuck in my head. But anyway, all I'm saying is you want to have that availability of it and use it. Amen? It's not just for pastors anymore. Kids, you know, the Bible is not just for pastors anymore. Amen. All right, let's look here at Psalm 119. You thought I'd never get to it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Mem. That's the next letter in the Hebrew Bible. There's 22 of them. And this is Mem. Of course, it's kind of akin to M. It even sounds like M. Mem. The last one was Lamet. Next one would be Nun. And this psalm is divided up into 22 sections for ease of reading and ease of meditation. David wrote this psalm, as far as we know. And he began, and it's all about the Word of God. It's all about meditation on the Word of God. The whole psalm talks about it. In fact, it's interesting if you go back to Psalm 19, and I'll look at it today, because everything I've mentioned about Psalm 119, you remember how every verse has a reference to either His testimonies, His statutes, His Word, His law. I've mentioned that before. Well, Psalm 19 has verses 7 through 10 actually refers to His law in that way, of all of those different aspects that it has to it. And then Psalm 119 has a demonstration of it by going through and reciting the Word of God and the ways of God through looking at the application of His Word. Okay, so that's what this is all about, is the application of the Word of God. And, you know, Psalm 119 is a very long psalm, and so many times what that does to us is say, well, that's too long to put into a devotional. So, you know, but God fixed that. He put it in 8-verse stanzas. It's shorter than most Bible chapters. So you can spend 22 days. You can do that, like, that would work out to about Monday through Friday. 22 days, isn't that about how many actual work days there are in a week? You could read one of these Monday through Friday every month, just like people read Psalm 31. But of course, that includes all the weekends, the 31 days. So you can do all kinds of things to get to make it easier. That's why God created times and seasons and such, so that you could read the Bible, so that you could meditate upon His Word in a organized fashion to help you. God's into helping you. He's not into slowing you down. Amen? He's not into slowing me down. I mean, I trust Him. I mean, He's got something He's working in me and working on my behalf. Amen? Hallelujah. And, you know, all of that is because He redeemed me by His blood. I mean, just redeeming me by His blood and taking me to heaven, that's just gravy on the end. This 70, 80, 90, 100 years that I've got here is all about worshiping God and showing somebody else and showing the blessing of God so everybody else can come in. Right? I mean, you're not just kind of, okay, got my It's like I got my candle on Christmas Eve. You know, here I am. I let my little light shine, and then you blow it out. After Christmas Eve is over, you blow out your candle, and you go off till next Christmas. No, you want to continue daily. You want to take that candle with you. They won't let me take it. Well, no, you got one that's lit. They lit you. They didn't just light the candle. They lit you going out the door. Amen? Are you lit? I'm lit, praise the Lord. Some people think that means something else. Well, you got to have you know, something to burn. Glory to God. All right. Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love thy law. Well, just an exclamation. Oh. Oh, how I love thy law. Because the law is not a tough thing. The law is an easy thing. Because Jesus kept it. Jesus fulfilled it. I love it. Because his law blesses me. His law doesn't make me do things I don't want to do. His law keeps me from things that will kill me. Amen? That's what the law is for, isn't it? Even here, even in our country. The law is to bless people, not to hurt people. The law is not to keep you down, but to give you freedom. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Okay, so you can stop right there and just close the book. We won't. But it's my meditation. How I love your law. If you love his law, then you're going to be thinking about it all day. If you love somebody, you're going to be thinking about Janet all day long because you love her. Amen? So, oh, how I love my wife. She is my meditation all the day. Randy's thinking about Judy. Randy's thinking about Judy all day. Amen. Praise the Lord. How can I bless her? What does she want for dinner? Amen.
The other way around, you're asking me.
Oh, yeah. Well, praise the Lord. God's good. Oh, how I love your law. It's my meditation. It's my meditation. So if you love it, you're meditating on it. So you're just declaring the next logical step is, I love it, therefore I meditate on it. If you're afraid of it, you might not meditate on it. Right? If you're afraid of his law, you might just keep the book shut. You know, keep it on the coffee table. You know, I don't know, maybe you don't have a coffee table. Maybe you put it in the shelf. Put it in your cubby, in your car. I've got a Bible in the cubby of my car. Well, when was the last time you got to the bottom of that cubby where the Bible is? Everything else is on top of it. Straws, loose change. Everything's on top of the Bible that's in the cubby. But he says, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation. Now, if that's David, that's you. If that's David, that's you, because you're a believer in the Lord Jesus. He's living on the inside of you by his Spirit. That's you. Well, you don't think about what your brain thinks about. You think about what Jesus thinks about. You think about what Jesus says about you. Oh, how I love your law. Oh, how I love your law. Now, what you want is to ask God, how do I love your law? How does that work? How come I do? And show me why do I love your law? So you want to get into his law and let him show you why you love it. Amen? Now, what I'm talking about is, again, how people lived. I mean, they lived in two ways before the Bible was printed. They lived in two ways. They lived in fear of the church because the church leaders and fathers kind of kept you in fear. Well, you get down here and get your Holy Communion or else you're going to hell, you know, if you don't do that. Come down here and, you know. So they kept people in church, but somehow or another, God kept the church going. You know, such as it was. You know, even in Philippians chapter 1, you ever read that? Where he says, some have preached the gospel for other reasons. But nonetheless, Paul says, I'm rejoicing because the gospel is preached. I'm going to read that little passage there just real quick. Because sometimes you don't like the way somebody preaches the gospel. And Paul didn't like, there was a lot of ways he didn't like that. And he says here in verse 14, Philippians 14, and many of the brethren in the Lord, brethren in the Lord, These are brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds. Let me back up a little bit. He says, but I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened to me, this is Paul, have fallen out. I love that. They fell out. It's like you know, dumping something out on the floor and it's just a big mess. The things that, I want you to understand, that the things which happened to me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. How did that happen? It just looked like a big mess, but the gospel got preached. Nonetheless, God can make something out of a big mess. Isn't that right? I mean, look at you. Look at me. Look at all these guys in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Right? He says, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and all other places. And listen to this. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident, because he was in prison, he wasn't able to make a, you know, come rebuke him. They were waxing confident that they had opportunity to get up and preach, are more bold to speak the word without fear. And some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife. Believe that? Some churches that were preaching the Bible out of envy and strife. And some also of goodwill. The one preaches of contention, not sincerely. They're not even a sincere preacher. But he's preaching the gospel somehow. Supposing to add affliction to my bonds. So there's some of them just preaching to something opposite to what Paul preaches, just to get him so that he would hear about it in prison. But the others of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and therefore do I rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that all this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't that exciting? I mean, just when even if the guy who's got the Word of God and everybody else has kind of got it messed up, and they're preaching all kinds of crazy things, but they're putting the name of Jesus and the Holy Spirit in there, that somehow the Holy Spirit, he says, Christ is, nevertheless, Christ is preached. Somehow God gets his message out there. Somehow God gets his message preached. So, you know, you can be mad at Joel, or you can be mad at, you know, Joel Osteen, or mad at John MacArthur, or you could be mad at so-and-so over here, or so-and-so over there. Pastor, you could be mad at me, or mad at Pastor Jim for something we preached. That's okay, because when the gospel of Jesus is being preached, the Holy Spirit manages to do something. The Holy Spirit manages. So all he's saying is, don't get yourself up in a wad, because everything is not working out perfect in the church. Amen? Just believe him. Just trust him. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all of the day. It is my meditation all of the day. Psalm 1 verses 2. Or verses 2. Psalm 1 verse 2. Says this. Is blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate both day and night. Joshua 1:8 said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest be observed to do all that is in it, all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Another portion of the scripture says he's going to put his law on the inside of you. He's going to put the law, write the law on your heart. Amen? He's going to write the law on their inward parts. Take out the stony heart. Put in a heart of flesh. Verse 9 of the same part, Joshua 1:8, and then verse 9. Now he says, so backing up, he said, that thou mayest observe to do. Thou mayest observe to do. He says the word of God. And when he says to keep his word, he says to observe it. That's what it means. It's to observe or to guard that word. To make sure that that word is of your primary, is of primary value. Right? Amen? And then who performs the word? Jesus does. I will watch over my word. He says, I'll hasten my word. I'll watch over my word to perform it. Okay, here in the same place, Joshua 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee wherever you go. So this is right after meditation on the word to observe to do. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Then thou shalt have good success. Haven't I told you? Don't be dismayed. So he's backing up and saying, no, wait a minute. I see what you're trying to do there is that you're disappointed about what you've seen in the past in the world. But he says, I'm telling you, don't be discouraged. See, discouragement will come in and it'll take root. Amen? Discouragement will come in and it wants to knock on your door, come in your house, and sit in your living room. It wants to help you cook in the evening. Discouragement wants to come in and cause you to look at everything that's not appearing to go your way. And that's what the devil loves to do. See, God says everything's going your way. You may not be able to see it today, but everything is going your way. Amen? That way you don't slow down. A lot of times, you know, discouragement will get you to slow down. You just stop. You know, just stop. Your dinner will never get finished. You know, you just get discouraged in the middle of the day. And is that Jesus? Is that Jesus giving that to you? No, that's the enemy. That's the devil. That's the liar. The liar is coming to slow you down and to stop you. I'm not saying you're making great progress by yourself, but I mean, you're just as you're moving, but you're moving. Amen? I'm moving. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Even if I'm just moving by faith, I'm moving my lips. I love you, Jesus. Thank you that you're taking good care of me. Amen? He's taking good care of me. He's taking good care of my family. Now, I'm not just looking at what's happening, which that, you know, today I happen to be blessed. I'm looking at the long haul. You know, so when bumps in the road come, I'm not like thrown from the vehicle. Amen. You know, I have some people that have bumps in the road and they get thrown from the vehicle. Right? Then they get under the vehicle somehow. Is that, you know? So God is keeping you. I mean, keep your seatbelt. Basically, keep on your seatbelt. Don't let things just overwhelm you and overtake you. Let not, Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. In my house are many dwelling places, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. If it weren't so, wouldn't I have told you? I am the way. I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Listen to a series on early controversies in the church. And there's this guy, I mean, he's knocking them all down. I wouldn't recommend everybody to listen to it because you might get discouraged or something. I just argue with the guy. And he's got great arguments, you know, about this, that, and the other thing. But he says, you know, I just remember that scripture right there. He says, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the way. He said, well, Jesus didn't necessarily say all this, that, and the other thing. Well, you're missing 10 scriptures because you got your own agenda. You got your, and he preaches theology, you know, as if, you know, he was somebody. But he's got all these items, you know, did Jesus get raised or was he born in Bethlehem or, you know, this, that, and the other thing. And so what we're talking about is that you got to let the Word of God be your, and the Spirit of God teach you. Don't let people slow you down. The one thing you know is God is good. And if somebody tries to come along and say he's not, if somebody comes along and tries to say that he doesn't love you or that you have to do something for him to love you, Jesus said, even if they're saying, well, Paul made this big gospel thing and it wasn't Jesus. No, you go back and read the gospel. You read what Jesus says. The Father himself loves you. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said, the Father himself loves you. Jesus said, I'm preparing a place for you. He said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe God, believe also in me. I'm sending another comforter. You know, this guy never read any of those scriptures. Yeah, I said, I got plenty of them. I got plenty of ammunition. Let me at him. He might become a Christian if I had opportunity to talk to him. Okay, now. So, don't be discouraged, he says over in Joshua 1:8. Joshua, for crying out loud. I mean, this is way back. He said, before the Bible was even printed on the printing press for the first time, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage, be not afraid. Huh? Be not afraid. Be not dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. He's with you wherever. Sounds like the Holy Ghost. Romans 7:22, for I delight, Paul said, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Inside. I'm delighting right now. Amen? Oh, it feels good. I'm delight after the law of God on the inward man. Over there in Psalm 1, of course, you know, like we just read, you know, this is that you do, my delight is in the law of the Lord. In my law, in His law do I meditate day and night. Job 38, we looked at that last time we talked about. He says, Job 38, verse 36, who has put wisdom in the inward parts? That's a question. Who has put wisdom in the inward parts? Or who has given understanding to the heart? So, and that's during all that time when God is talking to Job, you know, saying, by the way, where were you when I made the elephant? He said, part of that rendition is, you know, who has put wisdom in the inward parts? Who's put wisdom in the inward parts? He has. He put wisdom in your inward parts. All right, now look. Verse 98, back over here in Psalm 119, verse 98. You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. Because they're ever with me. My enemies are always there. But you, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies. Now, does that really mean their enemies are always with me? Or does it mean your... I believe it means His commandments are always with me. Read that again. You, through your commandments, have made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. What? Your commandments are ever with me. You were thinking your enemies were ever with you. I believe His commandments are ever with me. His commandments are ever with me. I have more understanding. This is what He's saying. Listen. I have more understanding. Verse 99. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. That's one reason I'm saying that the verse before it, the last part of the verse, refers back to the subject, which is commandments. For they are always with me. This one here, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Your testimonies are my meditation. What did God say about that? See, if you hear what God said about it, then hey, that's your meditation, not what somebody else said about you. Amen? It's not what people said about you. It's what God said about you. I love you. What God said about His commandments and what His commandments say about you. This is David talking. David knew the love of God. He knew the love of God from the time he was out there with the sheep. And he slayed the bear and he slayed the lion. How about you? Then he slayed Goliath, by golly. But he learned all of that because he learned how God cared for him and loved him. He wasn't ashamed to be the lonely last little boy out there in the sheep pen, sheep field, out in the pasture, and his brothers would just, like, you know, they would forget about him. You know, even his dad forgot about him. You know, when Samuel came to look for a king, they knew he was, so they dressed all the boys up, got them in their Sunday best. Where was David? He was out in the field smelling up the place. He was out in the field. And, well, is this all the sons you have, Samuel said? Well, we got that other one out there in the field. Well, bring him in. And all of a sudden, you know, like they would on a Christian movie, a little halo shined around him, you know, and that was the one, right? Don't you love pure flicks? Christian movies. Problem is with Christian movies, why they can't be loved is because they talk about Jesus. And the world hates the gospel because it's setting people free. Amen? Yeah, well, how come we can't make a Christian movie that everybody wants to go see? Because not everybody loves Jesus. Not everybody wants to be set free. Not everybody likes happy people. Not everybody likes people who love Jesus. So then they go to the movie theater. You know, somebody said there was a movie, the latest Christian movie was out, and there was a trailer on it. And she said people were just laughing and chuckling and giggling, you know, about, and these were the serious parts of the movie trailer, you know, and people were just making fun of it all along. Why? Because there's good news in it. And people don't like good news if it comes from Jesus. The flesh doesn't like that. But he says, I have more understanding. I want you to believe that. I have more understanding than my teachers. He's not talking about your Bible teachers. It doesn't mean you're this Bible except for your pastors. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I'm saying is than my teachers, than those who would teach you anything. I have more understanding than those who are purportedly teachers, who would teach you even they're just people who teach a skill or teach wisdom or understanding. He said, I have more understanding than all my teachers because your testimonies are my meditation. Amen? So don't be like, well, I could never do that. No, just thank God that, you know, my son, Luke, was in a kind of a crummy place. He'd made some errors, and he testified Sunday a couple weeks ago in Fort Worth that God had just done everything to bless him, and he has, because he hadn't been to school to do this, but he just passed his journeyman's electrician test on the second try, a couple weeks ago. And he's been doing electricity for about 5 years now, and somebody called him, an old connection made on Facebook, some guy he used to know, called him and said, "Hey, you need a job?" Well, he had some trouble and difficulties that made it difficult to do things. Some of you understand, it had some trouble, and. I'll let him testify those. But he didn't have a vehicle. Didn't have a job. And this guy called him up and said, "Hey," or Facebooked him, I guess. "Hey, you want a job?" Yeah. So he said, "Okay, I'll pick you up tomorrow morning." Well, he came and picked him up all the way across town for about how long?
About a year.
15 miles a day. For a year, and then they drove off to the jobs, working with this guy's father-in-law, and they did that for about 3 years, and taught him the commercial electric trade. Now he just passed his journeyman's test. Had never gone to school for it, and there, when he goes to a job, he's with the union. And when he's with the job on the job, they're always putting him as the foreman. If there's no official foreman. They put him in as the head guy on the job because he knows everything. It's a miracle. God, I have more understanding than my teachers because of your testimonies. It's a miracle. We're thanking God. That guy didn't deserve anything. That guy deserved death. He'd admit it. It just had made all kinds of dumb mistakes. Amen? Kind of like his dad. Making all kinds of dumb mistakes. Why should I be up here? Because God's merciful. Mm-hmm. He could use anybody. I mean, Pastor Jim, he graduated from Yale. I didn't graduate from Yale. Heck, I graduated from a 2-year Bible college. Is that even a real piece of paper? Well, but I got the Word of God. And I love Jesus. I always thought it was funny that God put me with Pastor Jim. You know, I mean, you guys got 3 degrees, you know. Verse 100. It'd be a good verse for you. Verse 100. I understand more than the ancients, those smart guys, because I keep your precepts. So again, the word keep is to observe, to guard. You keep them right in front of you. I keep your precepts. Your precepts, when I keep your precepts, when I have them always before my eyes instead of the newspaper or instead of the bad report, and when I keep your precepts, your teachings, your ministry, your love, your promises in front of me, I have more understanding than those smart guys, quote unquote. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep your word. So you, once the word of God is on the inside of you, you begin to figure out that, I'll just say behaving yourself, that is following the word of God is beneficial. It's not because God has some arbitrary law that he's trying to get you to keep and he's a cosmic killjoy and he's trying to ruin your fun. What it is you have found out that it's good not to put your hand on the hot stove. You're brighter than you're smarter than you used to be. Brother Hagin used to say you get smarter when you get saved. Amen? You get smarter when you get saved. I have refrained my feet from every evil way. Because that I might keep your word. So what? Because I want to keep your word. Because that word is keeping me safe. That word is keeping me in good company. That word is blessing me. Everywhere I go, I'm blessed. So I know what to avoid. Anybody know how to avoid a pothole? Huh? Why do you do that? Don't you just like being, otherwise it'd be like an amusement park. You know, you could drive through every pothole. But some of you have had to repair a car a time or two. You know, you figured out that it's better to steer around them. Luke kind of figured that out. He said it's better to steer around the pothole than to just, you know, enjoy the thrill of slamming right into it and watching the water spurt out. Flat tires, among others. Get all your suspension whacked out. So you've learned all of these things that are a blessing. All right? I've refrained my feet from every evil way. Is that what's happening in your life? Have you discovered that that's what's happening in you? Is that you're refraining your feet more from every evil way as you've gone along? Verse 102, I have not departed from your judgments, for you have taught me. I've not departed from your judgments. Because I'm sticking with them. I'm sticking right alongside them. I'm walking with them. Because, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste. Yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. So it's not bitter. Many times the word of God might have been bitter to you, you know, when you had some thought that God was out to ruin your fun or to slow you down. Our understanding is now that God he loves me and he's on my behalf. He's doing everything for me, everything on my behalf, everything to bless me and everything to get his gospel preached. Both go hand in hand. Blessing you and keeping the gospel preached go hand in hand because you're walking joyfully, thankfully. When Paul was shipwrecked, he said, you know, hey, all of these things are working out for our blessing. Worked out on the island of Melita. I mean, God had people he wanted to minister to. He brought Paul out there on that. I mean, they had that shipwrecked ship. And so God knew that was going to happen. So he goes out there and saves all those folks on that island. You know, had this snake come out and bite you. Well, that don't seem like a blessing. Well, that's okay. Just shake the thing off. That's you. Just shake that thing off. Maybe something bit you recently, but you were in the in a place where you could decide to curse God about something happening to you, or you could just shake it off in the fire, and the people will watch you to see how angry you're going to get. In that case, they were going to see how he was going to puff up and die because he had sinned and he was a prisoner and somebody should, and that the gods of heaven had decided he wasn't going to escape judgment. But so the snake bit him and fastened on his hand, and Paul just kind of looked at it and shook him off. And that was obviously a known killer, you know, snake. They were looking for him to swell up and die. But they watched him. It's a funny story. They watched him a great while. He's just kind of looking, watching. He's not swelling up. I remember Jimmy. He got bit by one of those and he swelled up. He died, you know. And so-and-so's grandfather. We have many stories. But this guy, then they decided he was a god. Then he decided to preach to him and tell him about Jesus. Amen? So powerful. It's because although these things happen to you, crummy things, things that people look at you and go, wow, he must be a bad person. You know, did you know you even get bad news talked about you, even though you're a believer? And they're taking care of you. God takes care of you and He loves you. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to read one part of that. I'm going to read out of Psalm 19, verse 7 through 11, like I mentioned earlier in the message, that the law of the Lord. Let me look over there because I just abbreviated it here. Psalm 19, verse 7. There's a lot of Psalms. Psalm 19, verse 7. Remember, I was mentioning how in Psalm 119, we have all the various types of references to God's Word. Verse 7, you'll recognize this somewhat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. That changes your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions. It changes you. Now listen to this. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. So what do we have there? The testimony, the law, the statutes, the commandment, the fear of the Lord. The judgments of the Lord, all of these, which are part of what we read in every verse of Psalm 119. And here's the summary. More to be desired are they than gold, than much fine gold, and sweeter also than honey or the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Finally, back over in 119. To look back at verse 103, how sweet are your words to my taste. And if you'll remember that, Psalm 19, verse 7 through 11, to reference back to from this verse here. Then verse 104, through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Through your precepts, I get understanding, and therefore I hate every false way. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all of the day. So we have the Word of God. Not just in printed form, but we have Him because we have the Comforter, that Jesus is living on the inside of me every day, all day, morning, noon, and night, all night long, even when you're sitting in the hospital with a little girl, all night long, getting up two or three times because they're doing treatments during the middle of the night. He is with me, and He's with you. He's with every person who names the name of Jesus. And though we have this Word of God, He's given us the Word of God to put on the inside of us. And that only happened in the last 500 years. Otherwise, before that, it was preaching. Amen? So, I mean, how blessed are we? How much more blessed are we today than believers ever before? So we're receiving His Word to meditate upon it every day and to let Him teach me. To let Him teach me. To let Him encourage me. Amen? Hallelujah. This is a powerful... Psalm 119 is a powerful psalm.
Amen.
It's teaching me about His Word and the value of His Word. This is before everybody... This is written before everybody had a Bible. Amen? So His Word was given by word of mouth. Encouraged. So He wanted to find a man of God somewhere. But guess what? Now we're all men and women of God. Because His Spirit lives on the inside of us. Amen. Well, Father, we just thank You today.
Thank You.
For this Word. Thank You for the peace of God, which passes understanding. Thank You that we love Your law. I love from my heart, oh, how I love Your law. It's my meditation all of the day. So I thank You for it. I thank You for leading me. I thank You for teaching me. I thank You for the joy unspeakable and full of glory. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Thank You for our giving today, Lord, that You manifest Yourself to us and through us. You cause us to be a blessing to the world by sharing the gospel. And we just give You praise. Thank You for the poor being blessed. You remember the poor. So we give You praise and thanks and glory forevermore. In Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Hallelujah.